This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
Before we get into Black Monday in the NFL, right, there are a lot of head coaches that got the can not only yesterday, but today. I know for a fact that my co-host, my friend, Lando, got the best news of the year so far. In the fact that Matt Eberflus
is no longer my coach.
He got the boot. He is gone. Good riddance.
I think it's a true testament into how bad our management is that Cowboys fans across the nation are rejoicing, are overwhelmed with relief.
Yes.
Are just completely we weren't sure if it was going to happen. And then that's insane to say that after one of the worst, I want to pull up the actual statement. Jerry said, having known Matt Eberflus for decades now, we have tremendous respect and appreciation for him as a coach and a person. After reviewing and discussing the results of our defensive performance this season, though it was clear that change is needed, this is the first step in that process, and we will continue to review it as it applies to reaching our much higher expectations. I mean, a very, very, PR-coded statement.
Yeah.
Basically, in regular talk, he said Matt Eberflus sucked.
He wasn't
our
good
enough. Our defense sucked.
Nope.
We thought we'd be better. We weren't. He's just the biggest, factor in that, and he's the first piece to go. And I couldn't agree more, Jerry. I couldn't really be much happier with just getting him out as soon as you possibly could. Mm-hmm. It not only gives you the fans exactly what we've been asking for, it gives you the opportunity to have the same amount of chances to hire the best coordinators that you can.
Right.
When Brian Schottenheimer was hired, we had went through basically half of the offseason not knowing whether or not Mike McCarthy was going to come back as our coach. And we missed out on even having the chance to interview some of the better head coaches that got, jobs this past offseason. So it gives them a lot of opportunity to find the best possible candidate.
Right.
And I would just like to put into context just how bad Matt Eberflus was. there we go. Hold on.
I don't even know. I wonder. I mean, Cowboys fans, y'all know. Y'all know. Eagles fans, y'all know. If you're a fan of NFL football, you know how bad Matt Eberflus was as a defensive coordinator this past season. Right? I mean,
I just had some numbers to kind of, because like I said last season, to me, this was the worst defense in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
And by the numbers, they gave up the sixth most points in NFL history.
Like total points?
Total points in NFL history. Yeah. Granted, it is in the 17-game season. But out of all the teams that have given up 500 points or more in the season, one, two, three, four, five, six of them came with the 17-game season. So that's kind of just how it is. Mm-hmm. And there's only been 9 teams to give up 500 points total. We gave up 511, which is the 11th. But out of the, what number is this? The worst 20, whatever, here it is. The out of the top worst 20 defenses in the entire NFL in terms of points given up, the Cowboys this year were the only team to not lose double-digit games in that season. And to, like I said last episode, what makes this the worst defense of all time is all of these teams were just all-around bad teams. You got the 0-16 Lions on here, the 1981 Colts, like teams where your entire team is bad. Defense, so it's going to be hard for a defense to play well when they are bad. But then you have Dan Orlovsky on the other side of the field, not scoring points, turning the ball over, actually giving points to the defense, walking out of the back of the end zone.
Fun fact, though, aside from that, you know, walking out of the end zone play, Dan Orlovsky was actually, like, on paper, he was the best quarterback on the Lions roster that season.
Yeah, it was him, Dante Culpepper, John Kitman.
Yeah, and I think Joey Harrington was on that team.
Like, that was a terrible, like, that, these teams were just completely awful from head to toe.
So,
in terms of the specific defensive unit as a whole,
it was
no other defense has had this like bad of a
Caesar,
like of an individual unit.
Yeah,
because like I said, they didn't have the luxury of having one of the best offenses in the NFL, offense that was top 5 in yards and points in time of possession and first downs and fourth down conversions. Like the offense did everything you could to make it easier on the defense. Mm-hmm. And they were still just as bad as some of the worst overall teams of all time.
Right.
It couldn't have happened fast enough. He should have been fired midseason, should have been fired after the Giants game, if we're being honest, after Russell Wilson put up 37 points.
Was that not the first game of the season?
That was like our third. Wasn't that bad of a game. Think it might have been like the third game of the season.
Right.
Yeah. Old man Russell Wilson put up 37, needed overtime to beat the Giants. Like, that's just insane.
Right. Well, my fault. I mean, when you talk about, you know, obviously y'all's offense carried, would try to carry the whole team for all of the whole season, right? Trayvon Diggs was out. Now he got cut. He's a Green Bay Packer now. We all know that. Matt Eberflus is out. Yeah. Who do you think, like, who would you want to take over? I guess, do you have anybody in mind that you want the Cowboys to go?
I mean, they Brian Flores is a name that's been floated around.
Yeah.
There's somebody just got fired. And they were looking at, I forgot.
The Commanders fired Joe Witt.
Let's see.
The Giants fired Shane Bowen. That was early in the season, though. I didn't see anybody else. I mean, you talking about coordinators that got fired?
I can't remember.
I can't think of any other defensive guys that I saw get let go. Brian Flores, that would be an interesting one. I wonder what he... Because I'm sure he's just eyeing to get another head coach job. If not, he'll come out of Minnesota.
Sure.
There. Matt Patricia's a name that's been floated around.
Is he going to leave Ohio State?
There's...
He probably is trying to get back to the league, too.
There's a few names, like, I mean, it could be anybody. I just would needed Matt Eberflus gone. I don't think he could possibly be any worse than that.
Yeah.
And I think the new person will be in a better position I don't even really want to say in his defense because I just think he was that awful. But your job is going to be a lot harder when they
trade Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of days. I don't want to say in his defense, but in terms of the next guy, they'll be in a better position than he was.
Yeah. So I hear you, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, you traded Micah, but you got a Quentin Williams.
Well, I was actually just having this debate.
You got a Kenny Clark. You got an Osa already.
But that's the thing. And the thing that we lost with Micah and gained with those guys, it showed. Yeah. Like, in terms of our
ability to rush the passer.
No, our ability, and it showed in a way, and it showed that was that way, how it showed in a negative way,
yep.
But it showed itself in a positive way in the sense that last year, Green Bay gave up, I think it was like 99 yards, it was less than 100 yards a game rushing. Mm-hmm. This year, they're around like 120. Last year, we were at like 120 a game, and this year, we're at like a little over 100.
Yeah.
So, like,
I mean, we
stopping the run was probably one of the only things we were even slightly
decent at,
yeah, defensively. So that just goes to show that just better players in position will be better than, you know, better players be better than bad players.
Right.
So that's why I just think that, like, whoever we bring in, they'll be in a better position because they already have those foundational pieces, stop the run.
And you got the two draft picks.
And hopefully they aren't playing favorites, and when there are even better players to play, because that was a big problem at the
end. Oh, yeah.
Playing Kenneth Murray, playing Shamar James, not playing guys like
Logan Wilson,
who we brought in before he got hurt, playing guys like Jack Sanborn. It was just all around bad. So I think no matter who we get, it'll be an improvement.
Right. I mean, it really just put a bow on that. I mean, I've said it multiple times out here, right? Like, Micah Parsons, for as great of a player as he is, I mean, we've seen it time and time again. You want to take Micah Parsons out of a football game, you run right at his throat and see what happens.
Absolutely.
Right? So, yeah, in that regard, I'm not surprised the Packers have fallen off in that regard. Now, Micah's out too. I mean, we'll see what they do come playoff time.
But hopefully nothing.
Trayvon going there. How did you feel about that? Trayvon get, I mean, he didn't even really pick that. He got claimed, but.
Yeah, I mean, I was 1,000% positive sure he was going to either be a Green Bay Packer or a Chicago Bear. He was either going to go play with Micah or he was going back with Al Harris. No, I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah, that would have been interesting, him in Chicago. They do need some corner help.
Yeah.
Green Bay needs some corner help too. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I didn't even see, because I guess he made his debut in week 18. I didn't watch any of the Packers game, so.
I saw people, Cowboys fans, kind of like trying to dog on it. Well, because it was one play, and it was one of the earlier plays in the game. He was playing like super, super far off coverage. They completed a pass like near him, and so, but he got the tackle, but. It was literally like a 12, 15-yard catch just simply based off how soft he was playing in coverage.
Right.
That was the only really play I saw.
Yeah.
I didn't really hear too much else. So
I haven't either. So
if I feel like if it would have been terrible like it had been all season, it would have been
noteworthy.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. Listen, and I'll talk about bad cornerback play because I saw I'm not even gonna get to it right now. We got too much to talk about. But yeah, man, Matt Eberflus out. The sun is shining in Big D, right? Now it's time for y'all to go out on the hunt and get a legitimate defensive coordinator, get somebody who knows what they're doing in there. And, you know, hopefully, like, I know you want them to still address linebacker and safety with those, you know, first two picks in the draft. We'll see, right? You never really know with Jerry Jones. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But like I mentioned before, man, Black Monday happened with Black Tuesday happened today for.
Well, and actually before we, because part of the, one of the, I want us to not only bring in a defensive coordinator, I want us to bring in an offensive coordinator, specifically Cliff Kingsbury, who's out in Washington.
Right. Okay. You want Cliff?
Yeah, I want.
Because y'all just have offensive coordinator in name right now, right? Or is it Sean Armour completely?
Forgot the guy's name. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah. He's basically shoddy when Mike McCarthy was there.
Right. Get his name just to kind of give him the
respect. But you like Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator.
Absolutely. And I didn't. Clayton Adams is the offensive coordinator. Who?
Right.
He did pretty well. He's also kind of like our offensive line coach.
Yeah. So he's been with y'all for a while?
No, we just got him this season.
Oh, okay.
But he did. I think he did a pretty good job. But in terms of, I want Cliff calling the plays.
But you're not hearing any talk of y'all like possibly getting.
Well, it kind of happened today. I don't think they really said anything about getting it, but I want that because I think Shoddy was as good as our offense was it still didn't.
He hindered y'all. His play calling hindered y'all at times.
It wasn't so much that it hindered us, but the play calling wasn't why our offense was good. Our players were just making plays.
Yeah.
I'm still not seeing guys getting schemed open.
Right.
It's literally just George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb being like better than
the old to make guys getting schemed open.
So it's just like, I still want to see that.
Yeah.
And
from walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
And with Shoddy, this is a big season for him in my eyes. He is literally going to take an entire season for him to earn my respect as my coach again, because I'm out on him.
You're out on Brian Schottenheimer.
This last game, out of everything that happened this season.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
That was probably the most bizarre decision I've ever seen in Cowboys history.
What was the decision?
Deciding to play Dak Prescott and our starters in that game, and then effectively playing to lose, was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
What makes you think he was playing to lose?
Well, because they didn't play the whole game. Before the game, it was obviously everyone knew the game didn't matter. It was a big debate whether or not Dak and the starters
should play. Right.
They said he said he was basically letting him play because Dak wanted to, and he was giving him a chance to lead the league in passing yards.
Yeah.
So he goes out, starts the game. We barely throw the ball. We get down at hand because our defense obviously is
atrocious. Right.
And we're not really actually throwing the ball. We're really aggressive. We went for it on the, we're moving the ball at ease. We're running the ball well. But if your goal was to extend, because he went into the week leading the league in passing yards. So if you wanted to extend that lead and where he ended, I would think you would pass the ball more, but we run the ball, moving it well, but not really scoring. So that's where we went to in halftime, losing the game. Then he sits everybody in the second half. Joe Milton and all the rest of the guys come in.
Yeah.
So not only did you not really give Dak a chance to break to lead the league in passing yards.
Yeah.
You risk them all getting hurt because everyone knows how atrocious MetLife Stadium is as a field. But then you ruined the record Dak had against the New York Giants by just going to lose that game. Like, it made no sense to play them that way in that game.
So would you rather him have made a decision one way or the other to either play them the whole game or don't play them at all?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now, I want him, he's going to be the coach next year. I want him to just be the vibes guy.
The vibes guy.
Let Clayton, like Cliff Kingsbury come in, call your plays, run the offense. You walk around in your
stripes. What are you sold on Cliff Kingsbury?
Just the explosiveness I've seen in like his offenses, just a lot more creativeness than we've seen in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't not like Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive guy. I don't like him as a head coach.
No, yeah, I don't want
you know, to like coach. And that's apparently like his main motivation for like wanting to leave Washington because he feels like he can get another head coaching job. But I don't like his look as a head coach. He's okay as an offensive coordinator. I mean, I'm seeing people throw out, you know, us getting Kevin Stefanski, that he was getting Kevin Stefanski as offensive coordinator. I'm like, I am here for it. But okay, you'd like to go out and get a Cliff Kingsbury along with bringing somebody in new on defense. But I mean, that's kind of like a pipe dream for you, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, Clayton Adams, as far as we know, he's going to stay. Maybe, I mean, look, if anything, maybe, you know, this offseason, him and Brian Schottenheimer will sit down and Brian will be like, all right, you know what? Like, put your spin on this, right? And maybe he'll give up play calling duties. But, yeah, man, like I said, Black Monday happened. Black Tuesday happened today. A lot of head coaches got the boot. And the biggest news of the day, aside from Matt Eberflus getting the can, was Baltimore's very own John Harbaugh getting the boot. And I work with a Ravens fan. You know, he was, can I be honest, do you know he said to me after the Ravens lost week 18 Sunday night? I see him Monday and he goes, I was like, how you doing, Reed? And he goes, you know, I'm all right, man. I'm just trying to figure out. He literally said, I'm trying to figure out why the Illuminati has it out for the Baltimore Ravens. And I was like, what did he say? Because he mumbled it. I was like, what did you just say? And he said, like, I'm trying to figure out why the Illuminati has it out for the Baltimore Ravens. I was like, okay, Reed, hold on. Let's break this down. Let's really talk about this, right? If you really look at it and you ask yourselves, what is it with the Baltimore Ravens that has plagued them in the big moments, right? Whether it's Zay Flowers fumbling, Lamar earlier in his career, right, having bad playoff performances.
Mark Andrews
dropping passes, right? Like, I said, Reed, like, what, like, seriously, what do you chalk that all up to? Do you chalk it up to the Illuminati? Do you chalk it up to John Harbaugh and the culture he's built there? Like, what do you chalk it up to? He was like, no, he's like, you're probably right. It's probably John Harbaugh. And because, you know, and we never really, like, touched on it that much here, you know, throughout the course of the season, but obviously there was a rift happening in Baltimore, at least from everybody else's, from the outside perspective, right? Because John Harbaugh had issues with Lamar. Lamar was falling asleep in meetings. Lamar was up late night playing video games. All this stuff coming out of Baltimore, right? And, you know, it seemed like it was coming ahead. They were dubbing the Sunday night football game between the Steelers and the Ravens as, like, one of these head coaches is going to keep their job. The other one's going to get fired, whoever loses this game.
Right.
Right? Between Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh. I don't think Baltimore made the wrong move here. I mean, I've said it before here. I think John Harbaugh is a good head coach. I mean, he's already gotten several calls from other teams since he got fired about their head coaching vacancies. I think his message got played out in Baltimore. He had been there, oh man, I don't even know. I think, like, at least 14 seasons.
Right.
And at a certain point, man, like, your message just becomes hollow as a head coach. Right. And I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. When you're the Baltimore Ravens, man, I mean, when you've seen this story, what, the past 5-6 years, whether it's Baltimore steamrolling their way into the playoffs just to lose in a heartbreaking fashion in a playoff game, or them struggling to fight to get into the playoffs, right? I mean, what are we doing here? And even if it did come down to I got to pick a Lamar or a John Harbaugh, I'm taking Lamar Jackson 10 out of 10 times.
Right. He was the coach for almost 20 years.
Dude, see, like, yeah.
From 08 to this 2026.
Right. So, I mean, I can go find another head coach. I can't go find me another Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And that's another thing Reed said. He was like, I just hope we don't trade Lamar. I'm like, dude, you just fired John Harbaugh. You're not trading Lamar.
Yeah, that was
it. It was either him or John Harbaugh. You're not trading Lamar. So I think Baltimore made the right move. I still think John Harbaugh is a very good head coach. I just think it was time.
Yeah.
I think it was time. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in.
Right. No, I agree 1,000%. It was just like we said, been 18 years. The results weren't really changing, weren't getting better.
You got your Super Bowl. Like,
it was actually getting worse. I feel like they had peaked with him in this group, like the Lamar, the Mark Andrews group.
The AFC Championship game. They were there. They were right there.
You know, I feel like they just weren't going to get over that hump, and they agreed. So I think the change needs to be made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, sticking in the AFC North, Cleveland gave Kevin Stefanski the boot, as I mentioned earlier.
Merrick could do this one because I actually do have a watch on.
I feel
I feel bad for Kevin Stefanski for every season except for this one.
Yeah.
Every season except for this past one. I can't give him excuses for not having his two rookie quarterbacks prepared to play.
Right.
I can't excuse that. Because even if you don't like Shador, even if you don't like him as a quarterback, even if you don't view him as a long-term option, dude, you only have two quarterbacks on the roster. How are you not splitting reps?
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm not even here for the
saboteur.
Yeah. However you want to phrase it. His play calling with Shador, like you said with Sean, his play calling with Shador, it got weird. It got weird, like in clutch moments.
Right.
Like when you're going for it on fourth down or you're going for a 2-point conversion and you take your quarterback out the game.
Exactly.
Like, what are you? I didn't understand it. And I mean, here's the thing. I think Kevin Stefanski, yeah, he probably should have got the boot. I also think Andrew Berry should have got the boot, the GM. I don't know why he still has a job.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Haslam, I know you're the owner. I think you should fire yourself too. You're not doing a great job either, right? I'm not excusing you for signing Deshaun Watson to that crazy deal, who's still on the roster, by the way.
Literally.
Kevin Stefanski's gone. Deshaun Watson's still on the roster.
That's why it's like, Cowboys fans have been through a lot in the past, like 30 years, apparently, but like there are some teams.
You could be a Browns fan.
It could be a Raiders fan.
A Jets fan.
You could be a Jets fan. The Lions, they're starting to turn things around.
They and Kimler better figure it out.
But there were some years in there where it's bad. So
the grass isn't always green on the other side.
Exactly.
Okay, so yeah, Cleveland, that's going to be interesting because, I mean, whoever they bring in, right?
I guess. Did you ever see a time where the Cleveland Browns are good?
We saw it.
Football team.
We saw it in 2020. I think 2019. It kills me because they had it with Baker, right? They had it with Baker. And then Baker played hurt. He lost stock in the locker room. And then they traded for Deshaun Watson. And then they gave Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed $230 million contract.
And then
it all went downhill.
11-5.
Baker took them to the playoffs for the first time, I think, since they came back to the league.
Even won a playoff. They were. That's crazy. They were 11-5. Dude, got third in their division.
Like we saw it.
Yeah.
We saw it.
Beat the Steelers in the playoffs and then lost to the Chiefs by five.
The Cleveland Browns, I'm serious when I say this. The Cleveland Browns are the Sacramento Kings of the NFL. Like, they're allergic to success and prosperity. I don't understand it. And I don't even care about Myles Garrett breaking the single season sack record.
Right.
Y'all know where I'm at with Myles Garrett, man. I don't think he's a winning player. But no, Cleveland, yeah, whoever they bring in, man, I mean, because they're not, I mean, they don't have the first pick. They don't have the second. They don't even have the second pick, I don't think. I think they have the third or fourth pick. Man, can you look at that real quick? Yeah, because the top 10 is out now. I forgot where Cleveland falls, but I don't think they're in a position to go get. Actually, it depends on how many quarterbacks come out.
The Raiders, the Jets,
right.
The Cardinals, the Titans, the Giants, then the Browns.
So they have the sixth pick?
Yes.
Yeah. No, they got you got to get best available at that point. Because it's going to be Fernando. If Dante comes out, I guarantee you he's going second to the Jets. But I don't even know if there's a guarantee he comes out. So, yeah, if you're Cleveland or you trade back, I don't know. See, yeah.
The first three teams need a quarterback.
The Cardinals, too? Well,
the Raiders.
You said the Raiders, the Jets.
And the Cardinals.
See, it's funny.
Well, if they part ways with Kyler, though.
Right, because the Cardinals fired Jonathan Gannon, obviously. And, you know, they're talking about the Cardinals' next head coach has a big decision to make with Kyler. Well, the Cardinals in general have a big decision to make with Kyler. Right. I like Kyler Murray. I'm not saying I love Kyler Murray. I like Kyler Murray. I'm just saying we saw what he did with DeAndre Hopkins. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been very up and down. Trey McBride is the best tight end in football. No one's talking about because he's in Arizona. I don't know, man. I get it. If you're Arizona, like, you might just need to start fresh. You hit the restart button. But, I mean, to me, Kyler Murray is still a viable starter in the league.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely think he's still a viable starter in the league. But we'll see how that plays out. But I mean, like we mentioned, Jonathan Gannon out in Arizona. Hey, I'm not gonna lie, that might be a guy the Cowboys might call on. Last time he was defensive coordinator, he somehow got us to the Super Bowl.
You said Jonathan Gannon?
Jonathan Gannon, yeah, he was.
That was a name for sure. That was a slim moment.
Now, I'll say this, because I was not the biggest fan of him when he was our defensive coordinator in Philly. To be honest, his play calling, watching that defense, it felt like...
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Kachava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Talent was beating scheme at that point. Like, Hassan Reddick was just making plays regardless. Mm-hmm. Even when you're dropping Hassan Reddick into coverage, So I'd be cautious with Jonathan Gannon. I really would. But, moseying all down here, man. Next up, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll got his walking papers in Vegas. Vegas has hired and fired 4 head coaches in 4 seasons.
Yeah, I thought that was...
They're paying so much money right now.
I mean, I feel like Pete Carroll has earned...
Oh, do you think you think that was fair?
I mean, it was one season, Geno was having like the worst season he was probably one of the worst quarterbacks in the league of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he just wasn't in a great situation.
Geno or Pete?
Pete.
Well,
Geno really either, but I don't.
Well,
really.
Geno's Pete's guy, right? So here's the thing. Pete Carroll's 74.
Right.
I heard like a Raiders beat talker. He was talking on a radio show maybe a month ago. Hey, like, he's really tapped in. And he was talking about Pete Carroll is the type of guy, like, he comes in, whether he was at USC, at New England, at Seattle, he comes in, Pete wants his hands on everything, right? And he's earned it, right? I mean, he's
right.
One of a handful of head coaches that's won a national championship in college and a Super Bowl, right? So he's definitely earned that. But Pete is a guy that wants to bring his own guys in. He wants to have his hands on everything, right? And Vegas didn't really let him do that this first year. I don't even know if he really wanted Chip Kelly in there. I think he did. I can't remember. I can't recall. But, you got Tom Brady in here bringing in his guy to be the GM. John Spitek, I believe his name is. Then they're bringing guys in and everything. So it's like, Pete, if you're going to hire Pete Carroll, you got to let Pete Carroll be Pete Carroll.
Right.
Right. And it sounds like Vegas didn't let him do that. I just don't know if you keep I think Pete Carroll as a head coach, he's probably done. Right? He's 74.
That's what I was going to say. Hey, Pete, if you want to spend your last 2-3 year maybe in the league running the defense, going back to DC.
Was he a defensive coordinator before?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I got the perfect place
for it. Hey, you know what? Now, I will say, we have seen the older defensive guys have success in terms of defensive coordinator. So that would trend. That would definitely track. But yeah, I think Pete Carroll, right or wrong, I think his time as head coach is over. He's 74. If he wasn't going to, finish it out in Vegas, he's not finishing anywhere else. So, yeah, but I mean, if you're Vegas, I mean, number one, like we just said, they're paying out 4 or 5 guys right now.
Right.
They got to bring in a new head coach. You got the number one overall draft pick. We all know it's going to be Fernando Mendoza.
Max Crosby might be upset.
About Pete Carroll, you think?
No, just...
Oh, no, yeah. But see, now it's like...
Raiders.
Vegas is a very interesting situation because, I mean, Mark Davis might need to go out there and coach at this point, man. He's paying too many guys. He might need to go out there and coach.
So, yeah, take this point. Take the cap hit or not.
Right.
Because they don't, but you know what I'm just
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but, I mean, if you, I don't know. Like, Vegas is it's attractive, but at the same time, it's like, oh, God. Like, do I want to step into this dumpster fire? Like, seriously, because that's what they are right now.
Yeah.
That's what they are right now. So, I we'll see who chooses to venture onto that challenge. And to round out the head coach is getting the boot. Raheem Morris got the boot from Atlanta after two seasons. I like Raheem Morris better as a defensive coordinator. We saw him with the Rams. We had seen this show before with him as a head coach with the Bucks. It didn't end well. But if I'm being completely honest, because they also fired their GM, Terry. I can't remember his last name, but they fired the GM too. And, you know, immediately I just thought of when they signed Kirk Cousins to that 4-year, $180 million deal, right? They signed Kirk and then you draft Michael Pettis Jr. 8th overall. Like the minute that happened, you were on the clock.
Yeah.
So, and it hasn't worked out. Michael Pettis Jr., he was an injury prone player coming out. He tore his ACL this past season. Kirk, I mean, he fell off. He, you know, had to play this latter half of this season, but you know, his future's up in the air. Atlanta's interesting, man. I mean, God, you got Kyle Pitts finally coming into his own. Drake London, one of the, you know, better younger receivers in the league. They got a defense now. They got a young defense. You got Bijan Robinson, the best young running back in the game.
Their biggest question mark is quarterback.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Atlanta, they did bring in their old quarterback, Matt Ryan, to be the head of the president of football operations. I did see that. So
Matty Ice.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Maybe he can help them find his successor. Yeah, man, Atlanta, it's a lot going on in Hot Atlanta right now. And I'm just going to go here because we're already in Atlanta. Speaking of Atlanta, let's flip into the NBA real quick. Atlanta's very own, or not very own anymore, Trae Young, right? Word came out yesterday. Him and his representatives are working on a trade resolution with the Hawks.
Get him out of there.
What did you think about that when you saw that?
I thought it was the writing had been on the wall for like the past season or two. Think, you know, the relationship wasn't progressing positively in the way, like just the team as itself, the success wasn't in really increasing. And I felt like Trae Young was kind of in the position to where he was either going to be Damian Lillard, like up in Portland. Yeah. Like
first go around.
Yeah. Not leaving Portland until it was pretty much too late. Or he's going to make the move and, you know, get up out of there and try to like better his career for his future.
You know, it's funny because, I mean, aside from his rookie year, he has career lows right now, right? And, you know, Jalen Johnson, he's the talk of the town of Atlanta. He's obviously their best player, their franchise player moving forward. And when you look at it this season, right, their record with Trae Young in the lineup, 2-8. Their record without him, 15-12. And yeah, like you said, like the writing's on the wall at that point, like obviously, and they're a much better defensive team when he's not on the floor.
For sure.
Here's my thing with Trae Young, because I'm like, okay, you know what, fair, like, I don't know how they can't, I mean, I get how you can't make it work, but I think if you're Trae Young, right, because I don't know if you're seeing it. Like, are you seeing where they're talking about he's going to go?
Where?
All the talk, I'm not joking, all the talk is leading towards Trae Young becoming a Washington Wizard. And, I mean, dude, talk about going from a bad situation to...
like, I wouldn't do anything.
No, you know what I'm saying? But it's funny because they're putting Trae Young in... Because you know what they're calling, like, the LaMelo Ball, the John Morris, the Trae Young, right? You know what they call them now, right?
What?
They call them the misfit point guards.
So I could see them being like a big group together, the guys that are good at point guard, but just not contributing to winning basketball.
Right. Well, specifically, Trey, right? Specifically, because I was reading an article about it, and they were talking about Trey. Basically, Trey Young's rare to basketball is dying in today's NBA. And essentially, like, he's going to need to choose to take a step back wherever he goes to have success and to have longevity in the league. Now, I mean, if he goes to Washington, I mean, we'll see, because he goes to Washington, he's 1,000% the best player on Washington right now.
Right. And they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Right.
They won tonight, actually, but they're only one.
Here's the thing with Trae Young, too. He's on an expiring contract. So, I mean, that gives you more wiggle room, I guess. But, I mean, he's on an expiring contract with a player option. So, you know, people were talking about Minnesota. Like, Minnesota, because they need a point guard, right? If you really look at it, because I looked at it yesterday, basically, Minnesota can't trade for Trae Young. They don't have the – I think they're a first cap team, first apron team, excuse me. Basically, like, they would have to trade half their roster to get a Trae Young. So Minnesota's out. I thought about this, but it's also like they're kind of impossible to make this happen. But I was like, what if you could get Trae Young to Milwaukee? Again, it's very unlikely. Like, it's hard to even fathom them making a deal that would work. But yeah, dude, they're talking about Trae Young to Washington for CJ McCollum in a pick. And golly, bro, I don't know. I don't know. Like, if Trae Young really was out that bad, I guess. There was some talk of the Lakers. I don't know if you saw that. There was some talk, but I don't even know. You said you wouldn't see. You can't see that.
No, I said I did see. The talks of it, basically trying to make us the worst defensive team ever.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I mean,
Austin Reeves, Luka, and Trae Young.
And who would you would have to give up? Who? Probably Vanderbilt.
I forgot who the. I think somebody was saying like Gabe Vincent and some people, like some other, like. It wouldn't work. I don't think that would work.
So I don't know, man. It's gonna be interesting to see because I do think though wherever Trae Young, well, depending on where Trae Young gets moved, that will affect where Giannis ends up moving to or ends up not moving.
Right.
Right. So yeah, I don't know, man, but it'll be very interesting to see where Trae Young plays basketball next. I liked him when he got to Atlanta. I thought they were kind of on the cusp of something, but ever since that Nick playoff series, man, it seems like Atlanta's just gone downhill.
Right.
And they tried the DeJounte Murray experiment. That didn't work.
I didn't think that was a good fit.
I didn't get into it. I tried to have hope, but I didn't think so either. And then you get the first overall draft pick. You drafted Ricochet. He's kind of starting to flourish now. You drafted Jalen Johnson a few drafts ago, and he's starting to flourish. So, I don't know, man. Atlanta's, it's going to be interesting because if you trade Trae Young, you got to get a guard back because you don't have anybody else.
Right, definitely.
You don't have anybody. I mean, actually, no, I'm lying. They got Nikhil Alexander Walker. I don't know. They feel like he's the guy moving forward. I don't know. I really don't know, but we'll see, man. We'll see. Trae Young, obviously, he wants out, so we'll see where he ends up. If he becomes a Washington Wizard, I don't see that ending well for him. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. NFL regular season is over. Playoff football is here. My Eagles got an invite to the dance. We are here. We play the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm not even gonna touch much on the last game. I'm gonna say this. Keely Ringo is literally the worst corner I have ever seen play football, like ever. I'm talking about when I played in middle school, when I played in high school, watching ball for the 27 years I've been watching ball. He is literally the worst corner I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by far. All I'm going to say is
Go look at Josh Jaws's touchdown run. Just go look it up and then get back to me. All right. We lost that game. Tanner McKee was out of sync with some of his receivers. It is what it is. You could be mad because we didn't get the second seed, whatever. Like, it is what it is. I'm not going to spend too much energy on that. We're here now. We got the 49ers coming up. And I'll say this. They're a tougher matchup than Green Bay. Green Bay would have been an easier matchup for us just because they got a lot of injuries and we've kind of had Green Bay's number. San Fran is interesting. You know, when they've been rolling recently, they've been hot. I mean, they just dropped, they dropped on the Colts 48?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that football a few weeks ago? Yeah. So when they're rolling.
42. Oh, that was the Bears. 42 on the Bears. And then, 48 on the Colts.
Right.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Kachava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
Right, so...
But three. Oh, that was for the last game of the season. They probably sat everybody.
Yeah, well, they played, who was it, that Sunday night before? They had a bad showing, but...
No, they played, I was going to say, they played everybody on in the last game. They just lost to the Seahawks 13.
That's what it was. Yes.
So, yeah, they had two in the last 3 weeks of the season. They scored 48, 42, and then three.
Right. No. So, yeah, man, when they've been rolling, they've been rolling. And Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he almost had 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving this season. Here's my thing. Their defense is not good. They're last in the league in sacks, right? So, Jalen should have all the time in the world.
Right.
The question is, can Kevin Stefanski and Nick Sirianni, can they scheme up a game plan to take advantage of it? All right? That is the question. That is the only question. I know my defense is going to come out here and light Brock Purdy up because we do it every time. We do it every single time. All right? Can our offense... take advantage of a decent defense, of a defense that can't get after the passer, of a defense that struggles against the run, which is going to be hilarious because we can't run the ball efficient enough. We can't, right? We have all the tools. We have all the tools. And we also have a second running back by the name of Tank Bigsby, who we see does damage every time he gets the ball. So hope he's in the game plan. Hope we can scheme a way to get Saquon running lanes. Lane Johnson's going to be back. I'm saying all this optimistically. I'm saying all this hopefully. Do I anticipate this happening? Honestly, no. I anticipate a loss. I'm sorry if that's too pessimistic of me. You know, I'm sorry, Eagles fans. Like, I sincerely apologize. I hope I'm wrong.
All right.
I hope I'm wrong. But, man, Kevin Betullo has given me no indication that he has realized the error in his ways.
Right.
And, honestly, what it'll probably end up being is a dogfight, and a dogfight that we lose because our offense just cannot make enough plays. That's what I really anticipate happening. I don't think San Fran will have a good game against us. You know, offensively, I just don't. Our defense is top-notch. Our defense is championship level, honestly.
Literally.
And
minus Kyler Ringo.
Keely, yeah. Well, he's a fourth, fifth string. He only played because we played the backups. He's he'll never play it ever again. Got enough of the Eagles. I care, bro. I mean, that's just so bad. The quarterback is running towards you, towards the end zone, and you turn around.
Man.
You turn around. What are you doing? Man. Playoff football is here, and I'm excited. We have a chance to defend our crown. But yeah, dude. And even, I'm not gonna lie, even if we do pass the 49ers, bro, like Seattle, dog. Seattle, they're steamrolling right now.
And yeah,
the Rams, I know they will. They got revenge on their mind. Devontae Adams is gonna be back from the playoffs. I know they need to finish the season how they wanted to, but I know they got some revenge on their mind for the Eagles. It like and I guess that's the saving grace, right? Because you know, in these playoffs, right, no one team is really like head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, if you want to argue the Patriots, sure. But Seattle, they're great. But Sam Darnold, we've seen that show time and time again because the playoff game. And we've seen it in big games. He falters, right? The Rams, they've stalled out sometimes, right? They're great, but they've stalled out sometimes.
Broncos are a good. They're the first seed in the AFC, but.
But they, I mean, they're 11-2 in one score games. Like they could have easily lost half of those games. Easily. Who was Carolina? I mean, they're young. They're very young. They'll probably be one and done in this playoffs.
Yeah, I think. Who do they have?
49ers, they got a whole bunch of injuries. Chicago, they're good, but they're young. Their defense isn't even that good. They're just opportunistic, which is so crazy. Like, have you ever seen that before? They're not, like, when you look at the numbers, they're not good, but they just have, they're opportunistic. They just always get the turnovers.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm not sure how they get it done.
Right. Dennis Allen, man. The defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen. I don't know. It's just, it was weird. So yeah, man, every team in these playoffs have their warts, right? It's just a matter of who's going to be able to play their best ball. In January and February, that's just what it really is going to come down to. Josh Allen on paper, everybody is saying the Bills better get it done, right? You don't have a Lamar, you don't have a Patrick Mahomes, you don't have a Joe Burrow in your way, so there's no reason for you not to get it done. So everybody's saying,
other than like Matthew Stafford, and I wouldn't even say, I feel like out of what most people would consider like the three best quarterback or three, like. Josh Allen's the only person who's like a top three, top five universally quarterback in the playoffs right now.
Right. I think if you.
Yeah, Bo Nix, you got old Aaron Rodgers, CJ Stroud,
Trevor Lawrence. Playing really well.
Josh Allen, you got Drake May, Justin Herbert.
A lot of unproven guys.
Yeah.
A lot of unproven guys. Yeah, I think. Honestly, I mean, it'd be Josh. I would say Josh, Jalen, and Matthew Stafford in that order. The top three quarterbacks in these playoffs right now. And yeah, you know, the Eagles. It's hard, bro. It's hard. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe Kevin Vatulo turns on his thinking cap and he feeds Saquon. He figures out a way to get Saquon touches. We're able to run the ball. We're able to have a balanced attack. And we're able to really take it to San Fran. Maybe I'm wrong, right? Maybe we can figure it out. I don't know. I got to wait and see. I don't know. I got to wait and see like everybody else. Because time and time again, when he's had chances, he's had opportunities. Our defense has given him ample opportunities throughout the season. He's come up short.
Yep.
He's come up short. So, yeah, we'll see. We will definitely see about that. screwing up. I think I got something off the dome. It is now time for What Say You. And this topic for this episode, you know, it's funny. We spoke about it before recording, and I'll just touch it on a general basis here. Like, what is your number one pet peeve when it comes to dealing with the opposite sex? This is a hot one.
Number one.
Or if you have a list.
That's hard. I guess
allergies go crazy.
In my experience, just not really realizing. I feel like there's just like a big assumption that like all guys like don't care about anything or just are like emotionless and all like that. Like I've had people be surprised when like me and my friends are kind of like talking. You were not gossiping, but like we're talking about like things we're going through or
expressing yourself.
Just kind of like expressing to maybe like our frustrations or like our, how we feel about a certain situation with a girl.
Yeah.
And like specifically one of my friends, we're all in his now fiance was like, oh, wow. Like I didn't realize guys like care about things like that. And I'm like, yeah, we are regular people too. I feel like when things kind of start with that assumption and that mindset, things are kind of just like weird from jump.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of like
generalization of
yeah
us in general as a species.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. I hate that too. I hate when people would when girls they'll say like all guys are like this. Like, and I literally ask myself, I was like, so you've dated every guy in the world?
Right.
Like, have you? No, you haven't. So stop saying that. Because I can very easily generalize all you and put you all in a bowl.
Exactly.
I don't do that, right? So treat me with the same courtesy, please. Me, personally, I just hate when they beat around the bush. Right? We spoke about this before. Don't beat around the bush. If you want to go out, let's go out. If you don't, be straight. Be straight with us.
Yeah.
It's not hard. You're wasting my time. That is the number one thing. Do not waste my time. I'm not trying to waste yours, right? Don't waste mine, please.
Not wasting time is a good one.
Don't waste mine. I got dreams out here I'm chasing. I got things I'm working towards. So whether you want to be part of the ride or you don't, if you don't, that's cool. Step out the way.
Right.
Like, legit, all due respect, step out the way, please.
Another one I have is, and this could just be like the opposite gender, because I feel like girls might be dealing with this too from the opposite side. But
yeah,
when a person lets the previous person dictate what's going on now, like using the last person as an excuse to not do something now.
Yeah.
And in my, because for me, I'm the type of person where I'm going to do what I want to do, like what I feel like. I'm going to act the way I act regardless. I'm not going to let an experience or a bad like situation with somebody change me to where now I'm not doing these things, or I'm not kind of like changing my perspective on things, or like, it's like, no, I know what I like believe in. And
right.
So it's kind of, I'm just going to like take that from person to person. And if it didn't work out, then that, oh, well, I'm just going to move on.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. And I can understand how that can be difficult for people to do at times. And for the record, everything we're saying, like, I know girls deal with it from us too.
Yeah.
Right. I know. Our whole point of this is nobody's perfect. Just be straight.
Yeah.
Just be straight with us. That's all. That's all. We're all here chasing the same thing, right? Or relatively speaking, we're all out here chasing the same thing. But on that note, that is a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo.
I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And like, comment, subscribe, follow us on YouTube, follow us on TikTok, follow us on Twitter.
Instagram, everywhere.
Instagram, leave us reviews. Please, please let us know how you're feeling. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you agree. Let us know if you disagree. Cowboys fans, how elated are you that Matt Eberflus is now gone?
Who do you want to replace him? What do you think we should move and do in the draft for agents? Let us know what y'all want for this offseason.
Right.
We got a long coming up.
Right. Eagles fans, y'all let me know, man. Do we have what it takes to make a deep playoff run? Do we have what it takes to defend our crown? Or are you with me? Do you think this is going to be one and done? Do you think Kevin Petullo has already dug our grave this season? And it's just a matter of time come Sunday. Y'all let us know, man. But until next week, peace.
Later.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.